Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Condensed Histories, the podcast that takes pop culture and reveals the real history underneath. And you join me here live at the 2024 Oscar ceremony in Los Angeles. All the stars are out today. I can see, who's that? Oh yes, I can see it's Cillian Murphy. Oh, there he is, the hot favourite for best actor there. And what's this over here? No sign of Will Smith after he slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. Anyway, let's move on. But what we're talking about this time round is the Oscars. Now, you might turn around and say, well, hang on, the Oscars doesn't go back thousands of years. Is this pop culture and history? And it's like, oh, absolutely it is. You see, the Oscars, the first Oscar ceremony happened in 1930. And to give you an idea, you've got both Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman, who were born in 1930. These are two Oscar winners. Gene Hackman has subsequently retired, but Clint Eastwood is still making movies. He's got another one coming out in 2024. So it spanned entire lifetimes of people who are highly regarded in the world of cinema. But here's the thing. I presume you work in some kind of industry. And what's interesting is that when I first started, you know, straight out of university, and now I'm working in a company, I went to the industry awards. And they were explained to me that these are the Oscars of the business media world. And then when I ended up being a manager, working on magazines to do with specific areas, again, the analogy was, this is the Oscars of the printing awards or the Oscars of the horticultural industry. And the point is, it's valid because the Oscars are an industry award. I know that there are architectural awards, so it's like best high-rise apartment block of 2024 by somebody you've probably never heard of. But in that industry, the whole of the other architectural firms are looking with deep green envy and going, oh man, I wish we won that. And it's the same thing with the Oscars. It just happens to be in an industry that we care about. The Golden Globes don't have as much glamour, but they do talk about the other area that we care about, TV. Then there are the Streamies for best content online. There are loads and loads of these, but nothing compares to the luster of the Oscars. You may win the Palme d'Or at Cannes, which means a fair bit in the film community, but it isn't nearly as well known to the general public. If I walked up to you and said, I've won a Golden Globe, or I've won an Emmy, or I've won a Palme d'Or, you'd go, well, you clearly won stuff then. Well done, you, Jem. But if I turned around and said, I've won an Oscar, You know immediately what it's for. You know immediately, oh, well, it must be something to do with films, etc. And a lot of people, it's not just me, it's not just some of my friends, but a lot of people have at some point wondered, you know, wouldn't it be amazing to walk up onto that stage in front of all those other famous people and say, oh, thank you very much. I'd like to thank my parents, and I wouldn't have been here without my gorgeous wife, and a shout out to my kids. And then you have to say, my agent, you're definitely my agent, everybody involved in this particular project. And then you start being walked off with the music rising over your talk about that. And I'd also like to raise the important issues in the world of, and it all just dies out.
No need to thank your parakeet, you're boring.
Look at Catherine Zeta-Jones,
she's snoring.
And so the Oscars have been around for more than 90 years. The origins of the Oscars, the first Oscar ceremonies for 9 years in a row, predate World War II, and we absolutely think of World War II as history. So hopefully I have convinced you that this absolutely is a bit of history. And there's also problems. A while ago, I did an episode about the secrets of Hollywood, etc. But this rears its ugly head with the Oscars too, because for the last 20 years, the Oscars have found it difficult to command the same audiences that they did in, let's say, the 1970s. And there's a reason for that, because the world has changed fundamentally. I would say that the Oscars will never get back to their glory days of the 1950s, because the world isn't in the 1950s anymore. But for those people who say, oh, the Oscars are basically dead now, no, they're not. What I find interesting is I recently had a fascinating conversation with another dad who has slightly younger kids than me, and went, I've just come across, when my kids start talking about this guy called Mr. Beast. I went and I started looking into it, and it's like, he's really big online. I've never heard of him before. No, you wouldn't, because Mr. Beast is, I believe, the second most subscribed to channel on YouTube. He started off doing live streams of Minecraft, and it evolved from there into sort of fun things you can do in Minecraft, silly things you can do in Minecraft, and he just got more and more viewership. And then he started doing things like, I'm going to hang around a jewelry store, and when people come in to buy their engagement ring, I'll buy it for them as a gift to them. And, you know, every time he did one of these stunts, it got bigger and bigger. But the thing is, he absolutely knows his audience. He doesn't swear, he doesn't suddenly talk about alcohol or anything like that. He is completely child friendly, so that your kids, be they 6 or 16, will sit there and you know you're safe with them, a bit like a Disney episode. And so he knows his brand, and he's done a great job of spreading out like that. Now, he isn't as old as somebody like MatPat on Film Theory, Food Theory, etc. But MatPat, after I believe 15 years, he's stepping away from it. Now, what's interesting is his channels are still continuing, but he himself is stepping away. I'm sure he's going to be earning money from it. But the big worry there, the thing about Mr. Beast and with things like Film Theory is, well, the problem with Mr. Beast is Mr. Beast is his tag name. So it's all hanging on the individual. But with something like Film Theory, technically, it's not about MatPat. It's about a theory. Now, because he's been the front man for more than a decade, and he's been very careful, there's style theory, and he's not on that pretty much at all. And I've noticed, even before he made his announcement that he's stepping away, there were more and more faces appearing on the channels, Food Theory, etc. And it's like, okay, so he's bringing in other people, and why shouldn't he? And so these channels, we call them channels on YouTube, but they are theoretically a channel of TV, like CBS in America or BBC in the UK. And therefore, these people, these celebrities, going all the way back to the dad, why would he have known anything about a specific channel on YouTube that would not be under his areas of interest, so the algorithm would never push it that way? But you now get these people getting millions, tens of millions of views, and yet a lot of people haven't heard of them. So the younger generation, what I find fascinating is talking to my teenage kids, is they consider Facebook's for old people. And they're right, because when Facebook was really heating up in 2004, 2005, Well, we are talking about 20 years ago. So those 20-somethings are now 40-somethings with kids, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, they still do communicate on Facebook, but it's now what the parents do, whereas the kids are on the likes of Instagram and Snapchat. And Mr. Beast is in there as well. YouTube perennially reinvents itself because there are always new channels coming in of fresher, newer, younger people to appeal to individuals. Although TikTok has again eaten away with this stuff, which is why you now get YouTube Shorts. So there's all this stuff that just simply didn't exist in the 1970s. In the 1970s, you had probably three channels of TV, and if you wanted to see, let's pick True Grit. You have somebody like John Wayne, who had been in the film industry. Well, first of all, he was just moving around props in the 1920s, in the silent era. When he was a very young man, he managed to meet Wyatt Earp. Not the actor playing Wyatt Earp, the original Wyatt Earp, who died while John Wayne was still yet to really become a cowboy. But one of the first people he met was one of the definitive cowboys, for real, in the flesh. And yet he was denied Oscar after Oscar. Let's be honest, John Wayne's not the greatest actor out there, but he made a lot of money for the film industry, and he was very good at playing John Wayne. And so when he eventually wins it for True Grit, what's fascinating is who he was up against at that time. You got people like Dustin Hoffman. We're talking about the mid-1970s here. This is not the era of John Wayne. He's now the old man, the old statesman of cinema. And he walks up and the applause is thunderous. Why? Because everybody in that theater, all those famous people like Dustin Hoffman, grew up with John Wayne movies. So to see the Duke go up there, and he is a big guy, but also seeing him not in a cowboy outfit with a hat or something like that, he's wearing a dinner jacket and tie. Of course he is. You know, this is the big industry do. You dress up for the industry do's. And he walks up and he wipes a manly tear from his eye and he says,
"If I'd have known that, I'd have put that patch on 35 years earlier."
And the point is that he brings the house down. And so you get entire careers summarized in Oscars. For example, Martin Scorsese. Obviously, this is coming out just before the Oscars of 2024. I don't know who's going to win. It looks like Christopher Nolan is going to win his first Best Director Oscar. And let's be honest, he deserves it. He's been pumping out really great movies for more than 20 years. And he's never won. He's been nominated a bunch of times, but it's about time. Oppenheimer is that sort of traditional Oscar film. I'll come back to that. But you get Martin Scorsese, he is technically up for it. Maybe there'll be a bit of an upset and he wins it for Killers of the Flower Moon, although it doesn't look very likely. We'll see how well this podcast ages. Either I'm going to come across as a very knowledgeable individual or a complete imbecile. Time will tell. But the only Oscar he's won for Best Director was for The Departed. Now, The Departed is a great thriller. I so recommend it. If it's been a long time since you've seen it, or if you haven't seen it for a long time, or you've never seen it, then please check out The Departed. It's one of the few films he's made that's actually a remake of Infernal Affairs, which is a movie from Hong Kong. But it's just absolutely stacked with talent. You've got Matt Damon, Leonardo DiCaprio, you've got Alec Baldwin. Just the list goes on and on and on in terms of who everybody's in this film. Jack Nicholson, how could I forget him? The point is, it's a very good film. But nobody turns around and says, do you know what the best Scorsese movie is? It's The Departed. It's probably Goodfellas or Raging Bull or maybe Taxi Driver. Take your pick, but The Departed isn't it. But because by the time The Departed had come out, Scorsese had been making films for 35, 40 years, it was the Oscars saying, do you know what, maybe we should actually give him an Oscar. And so it was the same thing for Wayne. He probably wasn't the best role of the year, but it was a slightly different role for him. And True Grit, such a great movie, ends up being remade by the Coen brothers years later. It's a great film, and therefore the Oscars are a reflection of history, because movies are a reflection of history. Even when they're contemporary, they age. And if they are telling something from long, long time ago, well, they are trying to portray history. But the problem is, and going back to the Oscars waning, there has been this now split in the world. And Christopher Nolan, if you like, is one of the examples of the people who has a foot in both camps. In the sense that The stuff that makes a lot of money in the cinema nowadays is not the kind of stuff that gets an Oscar buzz. And so the Oscar-worthy movies of the 21st century, a great example is Moonlight. Now, I want to be clear on this. Moonlight is a very well-made movie. It is extremely well-respected, and it's a really interesting story. It's the story of this young black man who is gay, and you see him as a child and as a late teenager and then a young man. And so you're going through this man's entire life, well, not entire life, but you're going through his formative years, if you like. It's an important character study. And let's be honest, gay black men don't get a lot of movies written about them. And so it's important in so many different ways in terms of representation, diversity. It's well acted, it's well directed, but it's a small film. And the point here is this. It grossed, I checked this, it grossed a little over $20 million worldwide. It was not a big hit. In theatrical terms, people didn't go and see it. And fast forwarding to now, you get a few art house movie critics going, yeah, Moonlight was a really good film, but it's not in the general conversation. You know, if you go back, however, to something like 2019, do you know what was in the general conversation? Avengers Endgame. It made all the money, but nobody seriously thought it was going to win acting Oscars or win Best Picture or something like that. So the fact that Moonlight wins something like Best Picture, it's designed to win Oscars, but nobody cares. Only three movies in all of Oscar history have ever won 11 Oscars. That's the maximum amount of Oscars any movie has ever brought in. And those three movies are El Cid, Titanic, and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And do you know what those three movies all have in common? They were monster hits. Also, it's worth pointing out, a lot of the Oscars were on the technical side of things, and indeed, you do get some of the superhero movies winning technical Oscars. But that is the biggest haul any movie's ever brought in, and the thing is, everybody had heard of those. Now, again, rewinding back to things like the 1950s, the Oscar winners were invariably worthier films, you know, more serious dramas rather than something silly. Generally, the Oscars don't like comedies. And going into the big hoo-ha this year round is they've been talking about, you know, how many snubs Barbie's had. And this is just ridiculous because Barbie was never meant to be an Oscar-winning movie. What it is it's a movie about a plastic toy. And yet, it's probably one of the most intelligent films of last year, of 2023, and it had no reason to be that intelligent. But when people sort of say, hey, it's poking fun at the patriarchy, it's raising issues about feminism and like identity and things like that, yeah, it's all there. At the same time, are you seriously telling me that this is the most feminist movie ever? That this is the most biting movie about patriarchy ever? It's so much better than it had any right to be, but that is not the same thing as it's a natural Oscar winner. And when people talk about how you get the director being snubbed, it's like, well, you're up against the likes of Martin Scorsese, who has been making amazing movies for 50 years. And you've also got the likes of Nolan, who has been making consistently extremely good movies for 20 years. And more importantly, Oppenheimer is a more Oscar-worthy type movie. It's designed to be that kind of thing that the Oscars might pay attention to. And you also get Zone of Interest, which I saw. And it's one of these things where I thought I was done with the Holocaust. And then
selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I heard the conceit of Zone of Interest. It's like, I have to see that movie. I have to see that movie the day it comes out in the UK. It came out a bit later in the UK compared to America. If you don't know what it is, it's the story of the Commandant of Auschwitz family life. So they live right next to Auschwitz. And what you see is just normal domestic life. What you see is completely normal. But what you hear is the sounds of horror drifting over the walls. And you want to talk about how Barbie talks about the patriarchy and slaps you in the face for it and say, hey, this is wrong. Well, the Zone of Interest shows you how to do it right, because at no point do you see anybody die. At no point do you see the horrors of the Holocaust. But the fact that these people are doing such mundane things where clearly they can get a guess as to what's happening over the wall, and yet they refuse to engage. That is a more powerful holding up the mirror, like what lack of empathy human beings can have at times, and how we try and play in our own little fantasy land rather than acknowledge the horrors, the obvious horrors around us. It is an incredibly important film. Now, I don't know for a fact if this will be talked about in 20 years' time, but I got a hunch it will be, because if that film doesn't win various Oscars for sound editing and sound mixing, what Jonathan Glazer did is he actually made two films, in essence, and you get two films. You're getting a slightly dull family drama movie and a Holocaust movie all at the same time, and nobody had ever thought to do that before. I mean, it would be an awful evening's watch, but it would be perfect to have with Schindler's List. I think you would watch Zone of Interest first and then Schindler's List second, and you've now got the Holocaust done very, very well. It's a bit like One Life, which also came out in early 2024. This is the true story of the British diplomat who managed to save all these Jewish children from Czechoslovakia and save them from the Holocaust. It all hangs on the That's Life episode, which I saw as a young kid. Very powerful. It's recreated very well in the movie. But as I said to my friends, I'll be honest, I haven't seen the film because I know what the outcome is. And everybody I've spoken to who's seen the film, I went, come on, be honest. Is the stuff in World War II or in the 1930s, is it all fine? And the real hard-hitting stuff is the bit towards the end in the 1970s, where you see him as an old man played by Sir Anthony Hopkins. And that's the real power punch, the gut punch to it. But I don't want to see an average movie. I mean, it's all apparently well made, but it doesn't have that genuinely fresh approach that Zone of Interest has, for example. But again, Zone of Interest, I've just described it. It's a very worthy film. It did not set the box office on fire. But back in the 1950s, you had no option. You were either going to watch black and white grainy TV, or you were going to go to the movie theater and see it in Panavision or Technicolor, in widescreen, etc. And that's why movies like The Searchers, another John Wayne film, why that would make a lot of money because there was just nothing like it on TV. So nowadays, because TVs have got bigger and you got high def and you got streaming and you've got YouTube and you got social media and la 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 la, there just isn't as much interest in the movies. Sometimes you do get these lightning in the bottle moments, but the big movie, and here's the thing, movies that cleaned up in the Oscars, they may not have won 11, but they walked away with a clutch of them. They were having to hold them, heaving under the weight of them in their folded arms. Things like West Side Story and The Godfather, these were both extremely well critically reviewed movies, but also cleaned up at the box office. Briefly, West Side Story was the biggest grossing movie of all time, and so that same thing could be said about The Godfather as well. The point is this, you would tune into it because the film you loved, you wanted to see win the golden statues. But when you get something like Moonlight or Coda, I saw Coda on Apple TV. It won Best Picture. They were the first streamer to win Best Picture. And I watched it, and it's a lovely coming-of-age story about a normal girl but with two deaf parents. So CODA stands for Children of Deaf Adults. It's a lovely film, but I don't think it was originally made with the desire that it was going to win Oscars. Too much weight was heaped on it. And then here's the thing, it's like, CODA's won. What's CODA? That doesn't have the same buzz as The Godfather's won. Oh, I loved Al Pacino in that movie. He looks like a real up-and-coming young man. I can't wait to see what his next project is. Marlon Brando, oh yes, he won. Oh, controversy, he didn't pick up the Oscar. He got a Native American woman to do it. Now, if Lily Gladstone, and she is likely to win and quite rightly win for Killers of the Flower Moon, she'll be the first Native American woman to ever be nominated for Best Actress and win Best Actress. Unfortunately, I think that will sway some voters. But I also think that what she does in that movie, I mean, she was a relative unknown, certainly compared to the likes of Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio, and yet she absolutely stands head and shoulders with them in terms of the acting chops. Really hope that she wins that. That'll probably be the biggest story of the evening. But back to Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is like a Godfather, is like an El Cid. This is a historical epic. It's a biopic as well. It's something else that tends to do very well, like you get Jamie Foxx winning playing Ray Charles. You've got, hopefully, Cillian Murphy wins for Best Actor. He is up against some stiff competition, but who else saw the other films? Because Barbenheimer was lightning in the bottle, both movies did better than perhaps they had any right to. Barbie was never meant to gross over $1 billion. If it had walked away with $700 million, everybody would have thought that was a job well done, but it did more than double that number. Well done, Barbie, okay? But same thing with Oppenheimer, with a budget of $100 million, and when you look at things like Dunkirk, if he'd brought in $500 million, everybody would have been happy and fine. It brought close to $1 billion. If it wins the Oscars, it'll get a re-release in cinemas and it will go over $1 billion. Because then again, everyone wants to share. It's like, oh, I thought this was a good movie, but now it's been given Oscar approval. Or from the point of view of Hollywood, the actual studios that make these movies, they love winning Oscars because they will sell more DVDs that way. Or when they re-release, it's like won 5 Oscars or whatever, something like that, or the best actress in this, it will get a re-release in the cinemas and people will go and see it. It's like, I meant to see Oppenheimer in the cinema, but now you will want to do it because it's won an Oscar. And so it makes more money that way. You're etched into a bit of history. People do remember certain big wins. But what's interesting is nowadays, saying to you, right, can you name me, you know, the best picture winner of the last 3 years? You would struggle. Or best actor or actress of the last 3 years? Not so sure about that. But people remember things like Braveheart winning Oscars. And somebody like, again, Clint Eastwood. He was first known for being an actor. Not a great actor, but nobody looked as cool as Clint Eastwood in the Dollars trilogy. And nobody scowls like Clint Eastwood. But the thing is, he actually turned into a pretty good director. So he wins Best Director for Unforgiven. And he goes on to make things like Bridges of Madison County. Really thoughtful movies. American Sniper. You know, these are extremely well-directed. Letters from Iwo Jima. Better than Flags of Our Fathers. Both about the Iwo Jima campaign between the US and Japan in World War II. He's made some genuinely great directorial products, but he's also been a great actor. And also the thing about Unforgiven is it was full of older people. You get Richard Harris, you get Gene Hackman. See, I'm not making this stuff up. It's almost like I planned this. And Gene Hackman wins an Oscar for Unforgiven. So, you know, there are certain moments when people, Halle Berry winning Best Actress.
This moment, so much bigger than me. This moment is for Dorothy Dandridge, Lena Horne, Diane Carroll. It's for the women that stand beside me, Jada Pinkett, Angela Bassett, Vivica Fox, and it's for every nameless, faceless woman of color that now has a chance because his door tonight has been opened.
Denzel Washington winning it for Best Actor when everybody thought that Russell Crowe was going to get it. You get somebody like, and it is considered that when James Cameron won Best Picture for Titanic, it was the worst script in Hollywood history to win Best Picture. And famously, he says, King of the World. So there are these Hollywood moments that go down. Let's face it, you get Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. That is memorable. But perhaps what's less well remembered is then about half an hour later, Will Smith wins Best Actor for King Richard, and everybody stands up and applauds him. And this was widely condemned the next year in the Oscars because, yeah, you just saw him assault somebody and act in a way that absolutely is terrible. And then you're all applauding him half an hour later. Now, the envelope had already been written. The Oscar had already had his name etched on it. There was no way around it. And I guess it would have been really weird if everybody stood there in silence. But that was weird. And of course, there's the famous Moonlight and La La Land debacle as well.
I'm now sitting in the audience watching these speeches. The plan is for me to end the show from the audience in a seat next to Matt Damon, who, I want to make no mistake about whatever confusion there was about who won, Matt Damon lost. He was a loser. He is a loser. But we're sitting there, and we notice some commotion going on, and Matt says, I think I heard the stage manager say they got the winner wrong. Because the stage manager is on. The stage manager is never on camera. It's very unusual. But so we're sitting there, and you just kind of figure, well, you know, the host will go on stage and clear this up. And then I remember, oh, I'm the host.
Sometimes things go wrong in Hollywood. Sometimes there are great moments of catharsis in Hollywood as well. And therefore, Oscars are a reflection of our society as we've gone through the eras. It is with deep regrets that I have to tell you, it is remembered that Hattie McDaniel won the first Oscar ever for an African-American. She played the Mammy in Gone with the Wind, which is a pretty problematic role nowadays, and indeed Gone with the Wind. I mean, this is the thing, if you want to, and I said this previously, Gone with the Wind won a bunch of Oscars. Gone with the Wind, if you adjust for inflation, is the single biggest grossing movie of all time. Gone with the Wind's pretty racist. So it is not aged like fine wine. But Hattie McDaniel, she wins an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, and you'd think, oh, well, you know, the African-American community really liked her for that. And it's like, no, they didn't, because she was playing a maid. And as she said, I'd rather be paid $2,000 to play a maid than $200 to be a maid. And I take her point. But the thing is, while she was awarded an Oscar, she wasn't awarded an Oscar in the main ceremony. It was done separately because she was black. Hollywood isn't quite as liberal as it thinks it is. So you have these controversies, you have these things bubbling up in the past, but who listening to this would say no to winning an Oscar? It might be slightly unusual, but an Oscar means something. But as a number of people who've won them have said, it's like you spend your whole career trying to win one, then you win one, and you realise you wake up the next morning and it's Monday. It hasn't really changed anything. Now, it does make you more bankable. You can command more money if you are an actor or actress. You will make more money from that movie because it will get some form of re-release or sell better when it comes to the home viewing market. There are actual financial rewards around Oscars, and apparently the goodie bags that you get with the Oscars at the beginning is amazing. So not that I've ever been to that. And what I find interesting, you may not know this, if we keep saying Oscars, they are the Academy Awards. And just to save everybody's feelings. They used to say, blah de blah has won the Oscar, but they now say, and the Academy Award goes to. Well, it's not going to anybody else, is it? There's also the famous scene, or the great scene, in Friends, where Joey is up for a soap opera award, not an Oscar, and they said, you've got to do your gracious acceptance face when somebody else wins. And it's true, you know, it's hard. It's people have been talking up your chances, you're waiting there, you're keyed up, and then if you don't get it, the cameras are on you, and if you sort of, like, start, like, going, ah, oh, I can't believe it, ah, that idiot, oh, who do they have to sleep with to win, ah, and waving their arms around, etc., that's not good. Instead, you have to grin, a rictus grin, and sort of stand up and applaud with everybody else. Oh, it must make you feel dead inside. But yes, winning them must obviously feel pretty good too, but it's a very ephemeral feeling. Only a few people have won multiple Oscars. You get the likes of Katharine Hepburn in the women's category, and I'm not going to go into who won what, but the point is, you all know that there have been multiple winners. Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis also won it 3 times for Best Actor. Let's not go down that rabbit hole, but the point is this. Because the world's changed, thank goodness for Oppenheimer, because this is a movie which, as I said, grossed close to $1 billion. Lots of people went to see. Lots of people care. Now, I appreciate if people are upset about the Barbie side of things. Again, you need to stop and pause. It is more of a comedy than anything else. The Oscars don't like comedies. There are lots of great comedies. Again, I've mentioned this before. Bob Hope said it's much harder to make people laugh than it is to be in a dramatic role, because we can all agree what's dramatic, but what's funny. And he's right. And Barbie just wasn't that kind of movie. I hope it does win some awards, particularly for things like best set design, because the amazing designs of the Barbie doll houses then scaled up to be real life. That's amazing. That's remarkable. It absolutely needs some stuff in that area. And if I was going to criticize one thing about Oppenheimer, because he used practical effects for the detonation, it doesn't look like a mushroom cloud. It doesn't look like a nuclear detonation. When they actually zoomed in on the explosion, it just didn't look right. It looked like a big oil drum fire, because that's what it was, a very large one, but it wasn't enough to convince me it was a nuclear detonation. But I love the delays and things like that, and everything else, no notes whatsoever. It should win loads of awards. And because Nolan has been nominated, but been nominated for things like sci-fi or for movies that are sort of more comic book, and therefore this should be the one that gets him, because it's historical, it's a biopic, it's a genuinely good movie. I hope it does win the Oscars, and the signs are good. Usually things are shared out, very rarely do you get a full sweep, but you know, go back and think about what are the great Oscar movies of the past. Another example, a quick example, Dances with Wolves, one of the biggest grossing movies of that year, reinvigorating the era of the Western. Without Dances with Wolves, there wouldn't have been Unforgiven. And yet, it also won a bunch of Oscars. It shouldn't have won. Up until that point, only one Western in the entire Oscar history had ever won Best Picture. But this was the next one. And it also, you know, won various other awards for it. So, you know, sometimes there can be surprises. Sometimes it can be a reflection of the times about social worry, social anxieties. You know, if political movies can sometimes do well. And those political points of view, some of them do age very well. Some of them can be very, very specific of their time. Good example of that in the 1970s, All the President's Men. You really have to know about Watergate and the Nixon presidency to really understand what's going on, because they assume you know all of that background information. If you're looking at it completely cold, you'll go, what was that all about? Everybody seemed very het up, and I don't understand why that got lots of awards. But if you do get it, you went, wow, you know, this really did capture that moment in a bottle for it to be preserved for generations to come. So it is a reflection of history, it is a reflection of society, and it is absolutely a reflection of pop culture. That's it from me. Another episode coming soon.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage.
Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.